welcome to episode 3 of Southern Hostility. With me again is Justin Bradford, as always.
Yo.
What's happening, man?
Not much. So on the...
Off-season problems.
Not much is going on. There's a few things going on. That's why we're doing this bi-weekly right now.
Yeah.
One thing I did not do a good job of on the very first episode was explaining what we're doing here. So I'd like to reevaluate that and re-deliver it.
We're not talking about, like, naked men on ESPN covers or something like that?
I mean, I would be perfectly happy if that's all this show was, talking about naked dudes and gas station food. Welcome to Southern Hostility.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's our mission statement right there.
No, I mean, so I just want to take a moment to talk about what this show is going to be and what this show has been. It, like, in a way, it is a hockey podcast, but more than that, it's about us. First, us, meaning me and Justin. We like hockey a lot. We dedicated a big portion of our lives to the sport, so that comes up a lot, obviously. But we talk about other things, like we talked about, like, our experience playing hockey, which, you know, it's not NHL related, so
we both suck.
Yeah, both suck. We talked a little bit about, like, movies and stuff like that. We both like nerdy superhero movies, so we talked about that.
Ladies?
We've talked about naked dudes more than we talked about ladies.
I was saying, attention, ladies, we like nerdy stuff. Come, get with the program, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the hook up here.
Yeah. So, yeah, us, me and Justin. But more than that, it's us as a whole, meaning you, the listening audience. We want to be readily available to our listeners.
Yeah. I think that's great. No, that's great. And it's about the mission, too, that falls under what Penalty Box Radio does. And not to get preachy, but growing the game and growing the game through personality and through entertainment and information. And that's kind of one of the things that we're trying to do here is entertain. But it's not always about hockey. Hockey's a big part of our life, but a lot of things influence hockey as well. And when you make when you make friends through hockey, you experience other things as well. It's not just going to games. You end up becoming friends to do other stuff as well. And that's kind of what it's all about. I know hockey family is one of those cliche words that's thrown around so much. But so many of my friends now I met through hockey, and we do more than hockey now. It's hanging out, going to get a beer, going to movies, things like that. It's what friends actually do. So it's not just hockey family anymore. That's because I feel it's overused. It's just friends. And you make those from introductions through a sport a lot of times by hanging out, having a common interest. And that's what we share, is a common interest here of hockey. We talk about other things too, because we really like superhero stuff. And I think we're going to touch a little bit about that later, and I'm excited.
Absolutely. So the way you put it, the PBR friendship, we want to welcome in all of you, the great unwashed, welcome into our friendship. A part of that is growing this friendship. So what we would like to ask all of our listeners to do is, if you have friends who like similar things, hockey, what we talk about in any way, just listening to two stupid chubby dudes, tell your friends. Unlike the traditional PBR show, we are not on the radio. We do not have any way of people just stumbling upon us necessarily. We need a little bit of help getting the word out there. So if we talk about something, like let's say you have a friend who likes a different hockey team and we reference that hockey team, tell them, hey, this podcast I listened to talked about the Leafs or the Flyers or whoever it may be, you should check it out and take a listen. They talk about some other cool stuff too. Yeah.
And what you need to do then is put this in an email and say that you need to forward this to 8 different people each, and you'll find richness in within a week. And so I think if you do that right there, and then if you activate those or 60 plus on Facebook and have them do the exact same thing and have them share it without any captions at all, just have them share the podcast without introducing it, I think you're really going to find a brand new audience out there. People going, what?
So what we're saying is, unless you share this with 60 of your close personal friends, Facebook is going to start charging money. Hobby Lobby is going to shut down. What are some of the
other... And Coke Zero is going to disappear. Wait.
But yeah, I mean, I know Justin has been talking on Twitter a lot about things that are coming down the pipeline for PBR as far as that community type thing. we want to be the delivery system for that. We want people listening to us to where we're promoting these things and we're letting you guys know, hey, a few tons of people that are like-minded are going to be coming and enjoying these things.
And we're not going to deliver it wearing those short brown shorts because, trust me, you don't want to see this in short brown shorts. No. Just saying.
The long socks that have the logo on them, too.
PBR.
So, like that, I guess that's just me on my soapbox, you know. It's very important, you know. And we like feedback, too. If you're listening to the show, let us know what you think.
Constructively?
Yeah, constructively. I mean, if you hate me, I mean, I get any emotion is some sort of reaction, so I guess I'll take it.
That's so sad, buddy.
I don't want to catch feels.
Andy Kaufman talked about that. He never looked for specifically laughs. He said, if I get any type of emotional reaction from an audience, I feel like I've done my job. So when he's getting booed off the stage and things thrown at him, he feels as though he emotionally engaged that listener enough to, or audience member in that case, enough to have a reaction. So
is that what you're going for, boos?
No. I need constant, you know, pats on the back.
I was saying boo earns.
All right, well, let's get into the reason people are here. We're going to talk about...
man junk.
Is that why people are here? I mean, that's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here, too. Hey, see, common thread right there. Man junk. And so what you need to do is get a wall razor and make sure you put that in setting number 2. You just want to clip... Oh, we're not doing that?
No.
Okay.
All right. So... We joked about not a lot has happened, but a few things have happened.
A few.
Yeah. We have our Phil Housley replacement. He's from the, what is it, the USHL?
Yes.
I don't know a lot about that league. I was really hoping you could help educate me.
Okay, so the USHL, I'll try to put this, I don't want to say layman's terms, I don't want to say dumb it down, but a lot of people are figuring out now the USHL exists. A lot of it started with the draft as well. The NHL announced they're going to put more funding into American Junior Leagues with USA Hockey and everything of that sort. So the USHL is the American junior system. You don't hear about it as much because most players are getting drafted. Majority of them are coming from the CHL, the Canadian Hockey League, which consists of the Quebec Major Junior, the Ontario Hockey League, and the Western Hockey League. That makes up the three leagues in Canada, with a few American teams make up the Canadian Hockey League, and then all of those compete for their own trophies, and then the winners from those leagues play for the Memorial Cup. So that's a lot of teams competing for one big trophy.
It sounds like Canada really likes hockey.
You'd think a little bit, because then you have other ones too, like the British Columbia Hockey League, you have your Toronto Midget Leagues, you have your Ontario Junior Hockey League. So, I mean, you have junior leagues within junior leagues within junior leagues within junior leagues, and I've gone cross-eyed.
See, but situations like this just tell me how much I have to learn as a hockey fan. And going back into what this show is supposed to be, I feel like that's the reason we work so well together. You know a lot.
I'm getting
you,
there.
You represent people who know a lot in the media. I represent the new fan who's clueless and needs some help.
But that's okay, and that's what it's all about, is learning more, because I feel like as people dive deeper and deeper into becoming fans of any team, you learn more, and that's the fun thing about it to me, is when you start following prospects and you follow them throughout their career, after they become drafted, you realize, oh, wow, I want to become a fan of this team. So, I mean, whenever I go on trips, I'm always buying a shirt and a puck, no matter where I go, because like you, Cameron is wearing a Toronto Maple Leaf shirt. Mm-hmm. When you wear a shirt representing a different team that people may not be used to seeing, especially junior hockey, it's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
And that's why I do it. So I'll wear a Kelowna Rockets one, because Shea Weber played in Kelowna. Justin Kirkland, Colton Sissons, Duncan Keith. I know people don't like him, but he played in Kelowna. And I have stuff from Erie, Connor McDavid, way there. I mean, it's fun conversation starters to learning more about this. It's the way I compare junior leagues is to baseball. You know, there's so many developmental leagues in baseball, especially in pro. You have your single A, double A, triple A, and then your MLB. And that's this very same thing when it comes to hockey. You have all these different leagues there, and just like any other sport, when you're growing up, you have your different travel leagues, you're playing your AAU, you're playing all these different leagues there. It's the same exact thing. It's just a little more organized, especially nationally when it comes to that. So the USHL is one of those leagues that's, they're trying to boost it to be up and coming for the U.S. because the U.S., they have plenty of good American hockey players. They want to try to keep them in the U.S. instead of going to the CHL. Now, I know I'm really diving deep in with information here, but so there are a few American teams in the CHL. A lot of them fall in the OHL and the WHL. So Flint has one that used to be the Plymouth Whalers with the Flint Firebirds. Erie, Pennsylvania. You have them. You have Saginaw, the Saginaw Spirit. Then over out west, you have Seattle with the team, the Thunderbirds. Portland with the Winterhawks over there too. So there's a few of those. But in the U.S., there are a lot of USHL teams that are feeding in to the NHL and to college as well. And you could see that just based on the Predators drawing this back in. Mm-hmm. The Predators drafted a few USHL players, and it was a big year for the USHL to have draft picks come through. So I think it's showing more and more the USHL is growing and continuing to do the right thing and showing there's hockey all over the U.S., especially in the Midwest. There's a bunch of USHL teams that people don't know about.
Circling back around to the whole conversation piece thing, I could wear all the Predators gear into Walmart I wanted and no one would ever say a word, but I have a friend who lives in Portland, Oregon, and when I visited, I went to a Winterhawks game, got a Winterhawks jersey, and it's just similar enough to the Blackhawks stuff where I get dirty looks and stuff, and I love it.
Yep. So Dan Muse, drawing it back in the original topic there, mm-hmm. been successful. He's been successful at every stage of his coaching career when you think about it, whether it's an assistant or as a head coach. And so it also shows, too, the amount of attention that the league is starting to give the USHL when you have a guy going from head coaching in the USHL junior to being an assistant coach with an NHL team. It shows what they think of him. He's fairly young overall. And it's one of those things that's probably a stepping stone for him, too. Be here 3 to 4 years, then he can move on. That's perfect. That's assistant coaches aren't always meant to stay. You want them to be good enough to move on because it means they're doing their job well if they're being searched out by other NHL teams or for other maybe AHL teams to be a head coach. So I think it's a great thing that he's been successful, whether it's at Yale or in the USHL or in World Junior. He's been successful. So that's what's really fun about that one, that they're getting a coach that has been successful at multiple stages and also knows how to work with young kids. So when you're having, especially in training camp, it'll be great for having him there too, that is used to working with kids. And there are a lot of young guys in the Nashville system as well. And then we're going to see a little bit of a change up with special teams, which I know a lot of people are excited about that too. A lot of people.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing you hear about this hire is how is it going to affect 3-on-3 and the power play?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of factors that are going to go into that. One being the talent you're going to have out there. We talked about this before too. Scott Hartnell is going to add a lot in terms of the power play because he's that player that will go to the net. You can use it a lot in the power play instead of just cycling it around like an umbrella and passing it around and get some perimeter shots. You have a guy there that can pick up trash. He's willing to go to the net and to battle. He has the big body to battle as well. So it'll be interesting to see what they do based on how they deploy the players and the system they run. That's a big thing I think we all saw last year. There were times when they would have somebody go to the net, but overall, that was the big issue, is they didn't have someone going to the net and driving there to create opportunities. And hopefully that's what Dan Muse will see. Well, that in terms of special teams and penalty kills, what I know he's going to be working on too. That'll be one of the big things that I want to see changed, is especially in special teams, to see with different coaches taking over different special teams units, how do they adjust compared to last year? Because again, it all goes back to if they could just have a few more points, their seeding would be different. Whether it's 3-on-3, whether it's winning a few more overtime games, whether it's scoring maybe 4 or 5 more power play goals, all those what ifs come in that you just want to improve upon.
And not to pick at the scab, but Game 6 of the Stanley Cup final, they were given multiple opportunities on the power play to get that goal back.
Yep.
And it did not happen.
You got to score when you're given the opportunity, especially on the stage like that.
Yeah.
And it didn't, I don't want to say they didn't try, because on a tangent, I hate it when people say, well, they're not even trying. It looks like they don't even care. They care, just doesn't always click.
I feel like it's a situation where they're just trying too hard. They care too much. They're white knuckling their stick, and mm-hmm. you know, it's just like, oh, we really need to score here, and they're stuck in their head. They're
just holding the stick too tight.
Yeah.
As the cliche term goes. I'm just holding it so I don't drop it when I'm holding my stick too tight. That's D-League thing right there. It's like, I don't want to drop it. I don't want to drop it, because that means I have to bend over and pick it up. And it's a lot to bend over when you're a big dude on skates.
It really, I just fall over on my side and flop around like a whale.
I just got the image of a head. Help me.
I do a lot of comparing my hockey playing style to like traditionally overweight animals, I guess. Last time it was a basset hound. Today it's a whale.
I don't know where we're going to go next with that then, because you went straight to whale. You never go full whale.
Wow. All right. Well, a few other things that have happened. Watson got signed to a deal. Mm-hmm. 3 year, $3.3 million. That's an average of $1.1 million a year. Nice little deal.
Oh, no, absolutely. Deserved it because of some of his intangibles. So, obviously, it's one of those things I want to see him put up more points, depending on where they slot him in the lineup. But Watson's physical play helps the Predators out because he continues to bulk up. And not just that, they know they can play him in different positions, too, if absolutely necessary, which helps out as well. But his physicality, as well as that upside of having some scoring prowess, obviously makes him worth that deal. And I know we'll get into it later, but when it comes to all these players that choose to go to arbitration and people freak out about, well, the Predators just lowballing, or he wants too much, the player wants too much. Folks, it's a negotiation. That's how it works. This is how it's always worked. This is how it's going to work, and it happens with every team. It's a negotiation. If the team comes out and says, well, we want to give you $1.4 million, the player's not going to come out and say, K. They're going to try to get more. If they said K, that means the contract is signed, and teams do agree sometimes. But when you go to arbitration, it's a game where you're battling back and forth, and that's okay. Players trying to get what they feel they're worth, and when I say player, their agent is trying to get what they feel is best for their client, and the team is trying to get the best value for the cap and their internal budget. This is how business works. And pro sports are a business. You have to try to be successful while managing a budget, and your main goal is to win a championship. What can you do to make that happen within a certain budget? Everyone has a max budget, but all teams have their own internal budget too and what they think they can spend. The Predators obviously have that, and David Poile is overall fairly good at working out contracts. So what gets me is when people freak out about, oh, well, Arvidsson's overvaluing himself, or David Poile, come on, you need to pay him. He's worth more than that. That's just how it works. It's always going to usually somewhere in the middle, skewing one way or the other, but it's never going to go all the way down or all the way up. That's just not how it works. This is, oh my God. Every year this happens and people have the same reaction. Every year. Learn that this is how hockey works. It's just how it works.
Yeah, it's become a repeating cliche to respond to that type of person who's like, oh, well, you're lowballing them or whatever. They, like, you keep seeing David Poile was GM of the year for a reason, but it's true. David Poile was GM of the year for a reason. Talking about Watson, I kind of like the type of player Watson is. He can be that gritty player, but he's also fast. He has some skill. He's not afraid to get in there and be in a fight, but it's not his primary role. Mm-hmm. I tend to like a roster built with enforced by committee as opposed to having one person where that's their set role because, oh, here it is. It's that person again against this same person. It's Anton Roussel against whoever happens to be that person on the Predators at the time. It gets boring. But mm-hmm. every time Shea Weber fought somebody, it was amazing.
Well, no, it's true. And, you know, obviously the way we see fighting going anyways in the NHL, you don't have as many true enforcers. I mean, Cody McLeod's one of those few ones left. And every once in a while you see a guy just kind of still remain in there. But then again, he scored a couple goals.
Yeah.
One very, very important one as well. But Austin Watson, the good thing with him is he can drop the gloves if he wants to. But he's not only a fighter. There's other things he provides, whether it's his physicality, his forechecking ability, his ability to tie guys up a little bit using his body. That adds so much more to the game than just dropping the gloves, to where what you see in today's NHL is you only drop the gloves when you absolutely have to, or if there was what you feel is a dirty hit, protecting a player, things like that. It's not staged. So you don't need an enforcer. You need a guy that, okay, he's physical enough to fight if he has to fight, but that is not his main job. And that's the role that Austin Watson fits now. He changed the way he plays his game in order to get a spot on a roster. And you saw that just last season. That's how he's able to – he was sent down.
Yeah.
And he was able to come back in. He changed his game.
Some bad chicken soup.
Yeah. Helped him out greatly. And he earned a contract where now he's making pretty damn good money.
Yeah.
And comparatively, you have Jordan Nolan – who has a 950,000 cap hit in 179 games played, has 27 points, Austin Watson, 140 games played with 28 points. Fairly comparable there, and that's, according to Cap Friendly, a 93.7 match.
One of the things that drags down some of the championship caliber teams as they get farther and farther into their window and it starts closing more and more is they overpay for bottom six forwards. Mm-hmm. It's a detriment into a Chicago. League with a cap.
L.A.
Chicago.
L.A.
Chicago.
Well, and what it does is it closes the window because they overpay to keep these players. And then sometimes you're forced to have a fire sale, like what Chicago mm-hmm. always seems to have to do, introducing Carolina Hurricanes, also known as Chicago Southeast. And you get stuck with that. Now, looking at what the Predators have in terms of locked up for their core, Forsberg, Arvidsson, even you think Bonino's core, if you're going to insert him in the top six, Yarncroke, let's see, Johansson will. We're going to talk about that, but Johansson will. But then Subban, Josi, Ekholm, even Ellis. I mean, for the next couple seasons, locked up. So the window in terms of, oh, God, how are we going to pay for these people? Not going to happen for three seasons.
Yeah.
That's a great thing, especially when it comes to offense. It's even longer.
Mm-hmm. Moving ahead, Arvidsson got signed to a nice long deal. 7 years, $29.75 million. That's a pretty decent payday for him, but at $4.25 million a year, as far as the cap hit goes, that's doable for sure.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about what other people are saying about this.
Yes.
So there are certain people out there, one that apparently gets paid to be on the radio, that has some issues with this contract and likes to argue with, you know, people that specifically cover the sport of hockey. You know, one that works for like NHL.com. One argue with that guy and just saying it's a bad contract. And I don't understand where you're coming from when you say it's a bad contract, but do you know anything about NHL contracts and how comparable this is to other players that are making this? And so you have to base everything on what the going rate is for players and what could happen potentially if he repeated this and then he's going to want $7 million.
But Justin, he had one good year.
So, so someone trying to be an expert on NHL contracts, and I'm not an expert on NHL contracts. I just know what's fair and relative. And now, granted, yeah, it's okay to disagree with this contract and the term on it. When you look at it, a contract is always a risk, no matter if it's high or low. That $1 million for Scott Hartnell is a risk because you're saying, okay, is this older gentleman going to be able to keep up? Maybe. If it doesn't work out, okay, it's $1 million, but it's still $1 million you're throwing down. Victor Arvidsson, 4.25, if he repeats his production at, say, 60 points, 30-30, if he does that, that's great. That is worth more than 4.25 in today's NHL. 50 points, still right around the bat. Even 45 points, that's still about what you're paying because what are the Nashville Predators paying Craig Smith? What's Craig Smith's cap hit? Oh, it's $4.25 million. And that was how many years ago?
Yeah.
So when you try to compare this in terms of what is fair, you lock up a guy that is supposed to be dynamic, that is your first line. So the Joffa line right there, you have Forsberg, Arvidsson, and Joey will be locked up for long term. Obviously, they've got to be fairly close or not. And we'll be talking about this in September. But no matter what, you're locking them up, and you see the way that Arvidsson plays. Multiple players said he was the heart of the team because he never stops. And you see the way he would go to the bench at the end of his shift. He is gassed, like keeling over gassed, because he gave everything he had from his little battery in that one shift. That's what you want to see as a fan, as a teammate, seeing that right there. So is the contract worth it? Yes, for more reasons than just the salary. Because one, say in 2 years, okay, need to move on. There's a good asset we can trade for, da-da-da-da-da. $4.25 million cap hit is a very tradable cap hit as well. So let's look at the future. If you don't want him for all 7 years, very tradable. Even if you had to buy it out in, say, 5 years, it's a very buy-outable contract too.
In the future, he could be the Colin Wilson special.
He could be. Or he could put up 70 points.
Yeah.
And then it's really a value contract.
The part of the argument where this isn't fair value or it's above fair value or what have you, the part that I take offense to is the terminology I used earlier. but he's only had one good year.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about before that 1 year happened.
Okay.
I've got an article from Sportsnet from a writer named Dmitry Filipovich, very smart man.
Yeah.
He does the Hockey PDO cast, really great podcast. This article was posted on October 8th, 2016.
2016.
The article is four underrated forwards set to break out in 2016-2017. So let's talk. Let's see what he had to say before Arvidsson had this breakout year. Give me just 1 second. One of the key depth players holding down their bottom six last season was Victor Arvidsson, who proved to be a shot generation machine in his first full campaign in the league. He found himself among some illustrious company with only shooters like Max Pacioretty, Alex Ovechkin, Dustin Brown, and Evander Kane ahead of him in shots on goal per hour of play. The attempts themselves tell a similar story. Another thing he references, it's unlikely he'll shoot just 5.5%.
He shoots a puck.
He had a good year before that.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to the type of talent you surrounded him with. Do you know who he played with at the beginning of the year?
Who was that?
Cody Hodgson. And Cody Hodgson didn't play the entire year. So he was able to have that type of season with that type of performance, a shot generation machine, with lesser talent.
Mm-hmm.
So the statement where he had one good year, the quality of talent he was playing with has inflated his numbers, such and such, it's completely ridiculous to me. He has had more than one good year. If you know anything about advanced stats, and I honestly don't, I listen to people who do.
And they're saying.
No, like as a newer hockey fan, like we talked about earlier, the simplest way for me to form a good opinion is listening to somebody who knows more and just copying what they say.
Or at least taking into, you know, and taking it in and saying, okay, well, I agree with this because.
Yeah. I like the type of player like Victor Arvidsson. You see him going out there and giving him all. So when I see a player like that, I like the way this dude looks. And then I listen to somebody who knows about this stuff, and I see how the numbers show what I'm seeing.
And then you have someone that hates this contract and continues to double down and triple down and then try to call the hockey community for liking this contract, and it makes you roll your eyes and go, he gets paid? Really? Staying with Victor Arvidsson, though, his first pro year, 2014-15, in the U.S., in North America, he had 70 games from Milwaukee Admirals and 55 points. His first pro season in North America, 70 games, 55 points. That's really damn good for your first pro season in North America when you're getting used to North American play, that style of play, or pro hockey over in North America. So then, 15-16, he played 56 games with the Preds, like we were saying, had 16 points. That's not bad, especially if you're thinking for a third liner who's in his actually first pro season in the NHL. And then he played in the play. He had 14 games in the playoffs as well. That's really good experience. And look what he did with all that experience in the next season.
Yeah.
So it continues to grow from there. It's not just, yeah, he had a really stellar season as a breakout season. It's always a risk. When you put a guy on a long-term contract, no matter what player it is, it could be someone that had three really good seasons where they were 30 goals. Just say they had 30 goals each season. You sign him for 7 years, and you say, oh, we're going to pay him, say, $6.57 million. People be like, oh, that's great. He's a 30-goal scorer. He gets injured in training camp. His career is done. But you're locked into that. You even if you put him in LTIR, it's still a contract. Every contract, no matter what, is always a risk. No matter what, it's a risk. But this is a good risk in terms of value you get from him. Some people want a bridge contract. I understand that. And that would have been okay, too. But no matter what, and I was telling so many people this, too, when they come back with, he wants 1 year, team wants 2 years, they're going to want to bridge him. No matter what, usually when they say this, it means they're actually working on a long-term deal. Like, yeah. No matter all these times you hear about players and teams saying, oh, 1 or 2 year, not arbitration, things like that, and they say they want short contracts, it means they're actually working on something longer. That's just the way it works, people. It's the way it works.
Yeah. And talking about the idea of like a show-me contract or a bridge deal, that can bite you in the butt so hard. We know, like, the only reason PK Subban's contract is in the $9 million is because that's what the Montreal Canadiens did to him. They bridged him. They said, hey, you want this amount of money, go out and prove it. If you prove it, we'll give you that money. He went out and proved it, and so he got that money.
Yeah. And when you think about it, too, Subban, the type of player he is as well, $9 million is not really that bad. Think of it in two, three years, yeah, the way the cap's going and everything. $9 million for a top defenseman like that, not bad, but no one ever wants to look at it in perspective.
But if they had offered him that term at that time, he probably would have taken less.
Mm-hmm.
A show-me deal, what do you do when they show you?
You have to give them money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at Leon Draisaitl. That's yeah. what everybody keeps saying. Offer sheet, but no, they're not going to do that because they play golf together. But seriously, he had a stellar season. That's more, even more so, I think, more of a, well, he had one good season. And look who he's playing with.
Yeah.
So, but it's still one of those things, he's going to get paid. Good players get paid, and you know what? That is their job. That is their livelihood. They get paid to play a game if they're very good at it. Get paid.
Yeah, as much as Connor McDavid is making, is he at his complete fair value?
Oh, hell no.
No. No.
No, nowhere near it because, one, he's a leader. He's dynamic. He can single-handedly change a game.
Yeah.
No, and he took less because he knew the team's going to need a little bit more space. He took less. That's a leader right there, too, because, okay, when you're making that much money, too, is a mil going to make a difference between like 12 and 13?
No.
It will if you're spending all 12, but if you're being smart with your money, then no, it's not going to make that big of a difference. You're still going to have plenty of money. So, it means most likely more championships ahead for that team as well and for that franchise years down the road. I mean, I fully expect the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs in the next decade to at least be in the Stanley Cup final two or three times. I mean, it's very likely that it could happen.
Very likely. Very likely.
And ooh.
It's really interesting because before last season started, every year I make my own little standings and I tweet it out. And I had the Oilers in the playoffs and everybody gave me crap for it. Like, oh, Oilers suck. They're not going to make the playoffs. The season before, if Connor McDavid hadn't been injured, he was on pace for over 100 points or something crazy like that.
Crazy.
If they had that there all year long, he would have won the Art Ross like he did this year. I was like, if he has a similar performance to what to this year, what he had the year before, they're going to be in the playoffs. And sure enough, they were.
Yep. And they look scary at times, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the future competition for the Predators right there. You got to take them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you offer sheet Leon Draisaitl.
Someone.
Please.
Even if it's not us.
Get him out of there. Come on.
It's so crazy to me. These GMs have a resource available to them that they could tap into, and they don't.
It's revenge porn. That's why.
I mean, it's no secret these teams actually hate each other. Like, yeah, you have to work together, but if you're one of the teams that's going to be competing, like if you're the Calgary Flames, why not? You're mm-hmm. never going to make a trade with that team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's never going to happen. The New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils have never made a trade. If you're those two teams, why aren't you doing that to each other?
Screw each other over. I mean, that's when you look at your competition. Take them out.
That resource is available to you. Use it.
Use it. That's part of the game. So if they match it, they're screwed salary cap-wise. If they don't, you get a really good player. You're going to overpay, but you screw over another team. That's part of the strategy.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyways, we digressed a little bit there.
We did.
But that's what we do here. You know, we talk about more than just the Predators sometimes. We talk hockey.
Yeah.
Because we're good enough, we're smart enough, and doggone it, some people like us.
Some people do. Coming up on Sunday this week, the Mighty Trunks against the Misfits. We don't have a two-part name, just the Misfits.
Well, Misfits. There you go. The Misfits. I'm trying to figure out something here. Okay?
All right. So our teams are matching up. Are you excited to be playing against me, Justin?
Well,
oh.
I'm not playing in the game.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
How anticlimactic is that? We could have this like rivalry built up right now and telling our
listeners, I hate you. Like, I hate your guts.
Yeah, but no.
Bring it on. No, I'm going to be covering hockey. Like, there's actual hockey going on like fluff articles that keep popping up out there. You know, it's like the Mount Rushmore of insert team name here. There's actually hockey going on in Plymouth, Michigan with the World Junior Summer Showcase.
Yeah.
Where now, because Tolvanen is not on the Finland roster, four Preds prospects are going to be participating. It's basically development camp for the World Juniors that take place in December. Like, actual hockey, international hockey competition going on.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be Preds-related material with prospects to push out. No fluff, actual interviews.
Like, that's amazing.
Amazing. There's a starter kit out there for for if you're in the off season, what to put out there. And it's always you pick the player that hasn't signed yet and say, why is it important to sign this player? And then you pick the player that might be on retirement. Are they coming back from retirement or no? What to do if he does? Then if it's the captain that might be retiring, who should be the captain if the so-and-so retires? Penalty Box Radio is guilty of that. And then you have the whole articles about he asked for too much money. The rent's too damn high. That's your off-season starter kit right there on how to write articles to keep getting hits.
Some of it's necessary. Like, some of it, you got to put out something. But
something. But, I mean, come on. It's every year. It's the same thing. Yeah. It's just it's
and
funny.
You see it for every market, you know.
Oh, absolutely. It's not a national-centric thing. And it's every
Shane
market.
You see Shane Doan articles. You see Yammer Yager articles.
Jerome McGinley.
And you see these articles over and over and over.
Why should insert team sign Yammer Yager? Oh, why should they? Let's list all of his accomplishments and, you know, how close he is to a point threshold. There. Article. Right there. There you go. Sign away. Because he'll fit in any system, right? Because he's a veteran.
Yeah.
That's how it works. Anyways, match.
Grudge match.
Mighty Drunks, Misfits. Mighty Drunks have not won a game since the fall because they've been through rebuild, and Misfits are
2-3.
You're better than the Mighty Drunks.
Yeah, just barely.
Well, like I was saying before we started recording, watch y'all win. Yeah. The one game I'm missing this season.
We faced the Wolfpack and got shut out 5-0.
And why'd you go and do that?
Oh, you know, sounded like a good time. Just leaving our goaltender hanging out to dry and, you know, not doing anything. Fun
now,
times.
Do you guys play positions? There's like open hockey.
I am right wing, thank you very much.
Is that the side closest to the bench?
On some games, yes. On some games, no. I've only been closest to the bench once.
Why are they doing that to you, man?
I don't know. Why?
The horror. No.
And, like, it's farther from the bench, so if play just keeps on going, I'm stuck on that side of the ice.
Hey, you guys. Change, please.
And I'm out there going,
I don't know, that's what a whale sounds like. Whale's heavy breathe. Yeah, we got a heavy breather on line two.
And it's so funny. Like, I get back to the bench and I see steam coming off of myself, and I look at other guys and they're just fine.
It's like you're dim sum.
I break a sweat putting on my skates. I'm not even kidding.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's Batman problems.
I look around the room. Doesn't happen to anybody else. I've got a towel out and I'm wiping down my forehead.
That means you're warmed up. Your heart's pumping. You're warmed up. You're ready. All those other guys got to get moving to get warmed up. You are warmed up, my friend. You're ready to go.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this game turns out, though, because, like, after that last game, the way that went, a lot of emails went out everywhere, like, hey, this here's a chart as to how to perform a breakout and be ready for a pass from the defender.
Oh,
and
God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
D-League, that's hard. Yeah. I bring out my dry erase board. More so just to tell people zones.
Yeah.
Of where their position is, because you can't do plays in D-League.
No.
So it's more like the defenders are supposed to be in this area. The center covers this area. Make sure you switch up centers. You have more responsibility than anybody else. Wingers, cover your points. Look for an outlet pass. So it's not like, here's what to do on a breakout. It's more of a, please be open or move around. Don't just stand there going, hey, I'm open. Tap, 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 tap. Hey, I'm open. No, you're not, because there's other dudes standing 10 feet away from you that is faster than you that's going to intercept the damn puck. Move.
Yeah. pretty much all I can do is like coach slash captain told me don't go into the defensive zone past the faceoff dot.
Yep.
Take away that point shot, and if it gets into the offensive zone, stand in front of the net.
Here's one thing. So I was lucky enough to attend the National Predators Adult Prospect Camp.
Yeah.
At Ford Ice Center. Now, preface this with saying that this was really hilarious that Zach Jackson, who works at Ford Ice Center, he's a great coach, knows this, able to teach and everything, especially edge work, all that stuff. They made a little marketing mistake there because they're getting calls of people thinking it was an open tryout for the Predators organization. It's like, one thing, why would you pay $500 to try out for that? I mean, most likely you're not going to make it. So I was like, maybe it's for Norfolk? But so they're like, we're going to name it something else next year, probably Fantasy Camp. That's what most of them dub it as. But
yeah.
J.P. Dumont came out there to teach, Dan Ketzmer, Jay Moore, Chris Mason was out there as well. So it was Scott Hamilton gave us a skating lesson. So it was really cool to be out there. But the biggest thing, especially because all the D-League guys are out there, what we wanted to know is, you know, what to do in a breakout pass. What should people be doing on face-off? What should people be doing this, 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 and this? There's so much people have to learn about the game. And that's what gets me in D-League is that you have guys out there sometimes that want to play hockey, but they don't know the game. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect to get better if you don't know that, hey, you're offside, dumbass. Get back to the blue line. I mean, it happens so much for so many different teams that I see out there. You have someone just hanging out in the offensive zone. The linesman's arm is up. The team is yelling, you're offside, you're offside. And they're looking like they don't know. Now, it's a different thing if you're just too slow and you're just trying to get there. That's fine. You're at least aware.
That's me. I'm aware.
Yeah. And that's okay. But there's other people out there just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, like it's NHL hits. Hanging out in the offensive zone, just skating around like, I'm a cherry picker. No, you can't do that. And so that's if you're going to start playing the game too, learn the rules. Learn, you know, and it's not one of those things I'm trying to discourage anybody. No, I want more people to play, but the way you're going to get better is if you learn the rules. Learn, hey, where is this position supposed to be? What should I be doing? There's so many YouTube videos out there that not enough people watch. And when the captain sends it out sometimes, because I've had this happen to me too, people are just, they ignore it because like, oh, well, he's getting on me for not doing my job. No, we're trying to make you better. Watch, if people take it upon themselves to self-coach to try to get better, you will get better. Just know where you're supposed to be. It makes such a difference in D-League. Because I've had some of the guys that maybe are some of the slowest ones out there, or they're still starting off. They're not the best skaters. But they go to the right spot on the ice. And they keep scoring goals because they're picking up the trash, they're picking up rebounds, all that stuff. You know, there was a guy that was in his mid-50s who had only been skating like 3 seasons. When I say seasons, that means 1 year, 3 seasons. And he had 5 goals. You know how many I had before? 0. And in that one season too, because he would go to the right spot and just tell him, hey, go to the right side of the net. The rebounds keep coming out to the right side of the net. Just go there and get your stick on the ice and whack it in. And he would keep doing it. So
that's great.
So I'm not telling you my strategy, though. That's not the strategy with my team. I'm just saying that's the D-League aspect right there, is just learn the rules, and it makes it more fun too when you learn the rules. It sucks if you're offside and your whole team's looking at you like, dude, we had a breakaway, but you were offside. That's a horrible feeling to have especially in rec league hockey, when you could have an odd man rush and like you're a foot offside because you weren't paying attention. Mm-hmm. It's a bad, bad feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, I'm just get offside because I'm out of breath and stuff, but I do feel bad. It sucks.
It doesn't feel bad to ice it sometimes, because sometimes you have to ice it.
Sometimes you gotta.
Because you hear it from the bench, ice the damn puck! Ice the puck! Get it out! Get out of the zone! Come on, we gotta change! You're just stuck up there for 3 minutes, and you come back to the bench. Oh my god!
Talking about all like the adult prospect camp and all the like people who are helping out, it was so great. Your coverage on like Facebook and everywhere, it was really good. Justin did some videos with interviews with like Scott Hamilton and JP Dumont, and it was great because Justin's coming off of the ice in those videos, so here he comes drenched in sweat with helmet hair.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh hey, Scott Hamilton,
let's talk. Let me try to aim the thing lower because I know you're a little short, but it's one of the things too. I wanted to help show that there are camps out there for adults to do, and mm-hmm. you don't have to wait for some outside source to come in. Ford Ice Center is going to do this every year now. Mm-hmm. $500 is very affordable. A lot of times these camps cost like $800-$900, mm-hmm. and you're getting instruction for 3 hours. So it's from 6:15 to 9 o'clock to 9:15. You're getting on and off ice instruction. So we did video breakdown. We did a night with yoga. the night with one of the Preds trainers, DJ Amadio.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and showed us the right stretching to do for hockey, especially how to warm up when you have short time. Because we all know in rec hockey, you have a 3-minute warm up on the ice. That's not enough. So what can you do in the locker room for a couple minutes to get your body ready too, so you don't hurt yourself? That's the biggest thing I think most of us are concerned about that may be out of shape is, how do I go out and have fun and not hurt myself?
Yeah. I actually signed up for that insurance where if like you break your leg, they reimburse you for not being able to work. like in the third game we played, one of the guys on the other team like went down in the corner. I don't know if he separated his shoulder and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I definitely need to look into some coverage.
Yeah. Oh, and every night too, after we're done, it's free beer.
Yeah. I actually don't drink.
That's okay. No, but that's okay. So it's free soft drinks too.
I get a red Gatorade, not fruit punch, red.
Red.
It's red. Red.
I get a light blue Gatorade is what I usually do. And then on the last night, they served us a really nice meal. So grilled chicken, mac and cheese, which was delicious, potato salad, a pasta salad, really good rolls. I mean, we're talking like the crunchy on the outside, but nice and soft on the inside, perfect with butter, and triple fudge brownies. And they had a keg, a half keg, but a keg. They had a keg in there too. So worth the money. If you're an adult league player or you want to get started, you know, start skating and you do this next year because it's going to get bigger and better every year. They're other players who wanted to bring in just didn't work out with schedules. So it's not going to be the same thing every year, too. They're going to make it better. This is the first season doing it. So I know it's one of those things like, oh, you're just saying it all for Ford Ice and giving free advertising. Well, yeah, because it was a good camp. I learned a lot with hockey because it wasn't just learning to play hockey. We watched game film. Yeah. So Lawrence Filoni, the video coach for the Predators, sent over clips so we could break it down based on the forecheck, the breakout, how to back check, what to do with an odd man rush, what to do with so many different styles of play in each zone as well, and breaking down these films to say, what did this guy do right? What did this team do wrong? A lot of the wrong clips feature the Avalanche.
No.
I'm not even kidding. Where they're able to catch so many guys out of position, where you had a defender up towards the top of the of the slot. Like, what's a defender doing at the top of the slot?
Did they have any PK Subban picks?
Or, no, this was all from the season before.
So he's a high-risk, high-reward player.
Oh, yeah. No, this actually features a good amount of Shea Weber clips in there. Because they were broken down into nice 20-second clips. There's a couple with Paul Gostad. There's one where Eric Nystrom actually scored a goal. Like, what? So there's one thing out there where I can make this joke now because it was two seasons ago. When, okay, in this defensive zone setting, what is wrong here? I went, the fourth line's out. It's a minus right there. Just go ahead and throw this out there. Pairing up, that's a minus. Yeah. But no, overall, the camp was absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's one of those things I know that you would enjoy, especially with the people on the ice. Scott Hamilton. I mean, I had people going nuts over me because they were saying, you got to skate. Scott Hamilton was teaching. I'm like, yeah. Like, he's there all the time, too. He teaches little kids. And these little kids don't know, but adults, like, you hear Scott Hamilton going, oh.
Every Olympic year, my parents become obsessed with figure skating. And so, as a kid, I saw Scott Hamilton so much. And that would have been awesome to, like, just get, like, a picture with him or something like that.
Well, that's how Americans are in a lot of Olympic sports. I mean, figure skating is one of them, gymnastics is another, and swimming.
How many 16-year-olds you've never heard of are suddenly the biggest celebrity in the world every Olympic year?
Oh, yeah. Well, and then now more people pay attention to swimming just because Michael Phelps really put it on the map, and so you see it more on social media, like Katie Ledecky. She's able to do and everything.
Swimming against sharks?
Not real ones, digital ones. People are apparently pissed. Like, you wanted to put an American Olympic champion in a pool against a real shark?
I just want to know what people actually expected to see.
It's like you have a bowl in the cage ready for the 8 seconds there. You just have them there. It's like slamming against the crate there. Okay, is he ready to go? Is Brutus ready to go? Lift the cage and he goes swimming? Is that what people were expecting there?
Were you expecting like a how do you get a shark to swim in a straight line also?
They don't.
No.
Serpentine patterns! Serpentine patterns! It's probably the same people that thought that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Which millions of people actually thought that. And chocolate milkshakes come when you shake them a little bit. And you go cow tip, and it's like, make chocolate milk. People are that stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You know who else are that stupid? People that go on the radio and talk about the Arvidsson contract not being good.
Oh.
Hey, I think you're throwing it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick to your lane. I think that's...
Stick to your lane.
I, like, honestly, like, it feels so condescending when I'm listening to the radio and, you know, someone was hired to talk about football or whatever, NBA basketball, and they're trying to talk hockey and seem knowledgeable.
Bring on the right guests.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with the fact that you don't know a lot about it, but, it like, own up to it.
It's like I do. Yeah. You know, say that you're learning, admit to it, and people will accept it so much more because they're like, okay, this person is... truthful, they know.
Yeah.
And that's totally okay.
Especially in a market like this one, most of us are learning.
Yeah, everybody, I'm learning.
Yeah.
Good Lord, with how big hockey is worldwide, I'm always, always learning something. And that's what makes it so much fun is that you're never going to be at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, even Bob McKenzie's talked about it before, too, where there's still stuff that he learns. And he's Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about. And so that's what's so fun about it, too, that there's so many different lanes of hockey that you can go into and become an expert at. And you're still always going to be learning stuff.
Yeah. He's normally Uncle Bob. Right now he's Bobby Margarita.
That's true. That's true. That was a really funny joke, Cam. And so apparently you're starting to do more stuff, too, with your stand-up, aren't you?
Yeah. So I'm going to turn you into my therapist real quick.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, take a seat.
Okay.
Oh, you're already sitting down. Lean back.
So, like, I referenced it on the first episode. I do have some comedy experience. Mostly it's from the learning perspective. I've taken classes out in California. I've taken classes here now. Constantly learning, constantly trying to do better. I am my biggest critic. I am so filled with self-doubt, and I'm just this chubby boob who's, you know.
Sounds like most comedians.
Yeah. You know, the reason I got into comedy actually is I wanted a chubby white man to finally get a fair shake in the comedy game.
That's pretty good. It took a second. But then it started going and I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I'm taking classes at Third Coast Comedy. I just finished level 2. I'm going into level 3.
What villain did you have to beat to get there?
The guy in like who constantly turns every scene into like this screaming match.
Oh,
it's crazy because like in each class you see the same type of person, and there's always that guy who's like starts every scene like, "What are you even doing here? I'm so mad at you." It's like, dude, you do this every night. Like, what are we doing? How do you have lungs for this?
I pay to be here, man.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Well, no, I mean, like, so in improv, you're, like, in a scene and your characters and stuff. But anyway, so at Third Coast, they're going to be having auditions soon for a few of their main stage shows. Some shows that are on a Thursday, you know. During the week, it tends to be more of, like, the type of people who are learning, where on the weekends, it's, you know, people who are at the top of their game. Mm-hmm. They're... apparently auditioning for all of those any open spots. I've reserved my slot for audition, and all I can think about is the fact that, like, no, I'm not good enough.
You better keep that spot. I'm pointing my finger at him right now. You better keep this spot. You better keep that spot.
I keep worrying I'm going to do what I did, like what we talked about last episode where I went to open hockey. I stayed up for warm-ups and left.
What kind of warm up are you gonna have? Where you're just gonna like, no, this isn't for me. They're all better than me. No. I'm gonna go put my shoes back on.
We don't take off our shoes.
I mean, some comedians might. That might be
actually
stick.
Some do, which is crazy. I saw a show last night, and like there was this bumper car scene, and one of the guys was like on a chair and like hopping around in this like tiny little like, and the legs of the chair were like slamming down on the stage, and this woman was barefoot on stage, and I was like, oh god, like I'm gonna see a severed foot at a comedy show.
I mean, some people may find that funny. Everybody has their thing.
I guess so. I wouldn't want to perform for that type of audience.
Well, you might get paid well.
Maybe.
I mean, are you in it for the money? Are you in it for the laughs?
That would be the worst, like Saw movie or Hostel or whatever. Like, it's a comedy show of death.
It's only something that's going to be on Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Sharknado at 9 at 11:30, whatever this would be called.
Four-legged chair of death.
A comedy nightmare. But yeah, like I am going to do it, but it's just like, do you ever go through anything where like you're trying to accomplish something and it's like, yeah, but what if I suck? What if I'm not good enough?
No, never.
Of course I do. Everybody does. I do that with playing hockey all the time.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing for me going through that camp is, oh, God, please don't let me be the worst one. Please let me be the worst one. I don't want to be the worst skater out there. It's always what's going through my head. I don't want to be. I don't want to suck.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to suck unless you want to suck.
Yeah. One thing I've always tried to keep in mind is, like, throughout life, if you feel comfortable, you're not doing enough. You need to always be making yourself do something new and uncomfortable.
Sure, absolutely.
Stretch yourself. Push on.
It's like with hockey. You got to fall. If you're not falling, especially to push yourself with that, you're not trying hard enough, too. You should be falling, especially edge work.
Yeah.
Oh, the sniper in Ford Ice Center was getting us all the time.
Yeah. I just keep thinking, like, oh, man, it'd be so much easier to, like, sit at home and order Cracker Barrel to go. Like, let me just do that.
What would you be getting from Cracker Barrel?
I like the roast beef dinner with, you get three sides. So I get mashed potatoes and gravy.
Uh-huh.
I get corn, and I get the fried apples. It drives me crazy, though, because every time I do this, fried apples, that's a dessert.
Uh-huh.
So you'd think they'd put that on the side. They put the mashed potatoes on the side. They put the fried apples in the tray with all the other stuff. So I get, like, cinnamon sugar-flavored corn. And, like, it's the most disgusting.
Can't you request it? Like, hey, can you put this in a separate dish?
Last time I did, and it came out the exact same way. And I got so mad when I got home.
Did you write a letter?
No. See, that's the thing. I don't want spit in my food. So I'm not going to complain too much. I'm just going to be like,
we'll change your
hey,
name.
If you got some time, can you let them know to, like, stick that in the side? Yeah, sure. And then it never happens.
Well, see, what you do is when you're on the phone, say, hey, can I speak to someone that has 4 stars on their apron? Thanks. Someone that knows what they're doing. They're taking the tests.
What
taking
a
the
dick.
No, but you better keep it. You better keep that spot. I'm excited to learn
how
this
goes. I'm going
to.
I actually, like, I've got a friend that I've been taking these classes with. I actually messaged her on Facebook, and I'm like, hey, like, what time slot did you get? And she's like, oh, 7 p.m. What about you? And then, I took 5 minutes to respond because I reserved 7 o'clock just so I have, like, some sort of security blanket. Uh-huh.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear about that. When is this happening?
That happens on Tuesday. Callbacks are on Wednesday. I don't think I need to worry about Wednesday, but who knows?
Hey, stop that right there. Be confident. Well, I'm excited to hear how this goes.
Yeah.
You know, everybody out there in PBR world is going to be listening.
At the very least, it's a good opportunity for me to get some experience. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you go to a job interview just to keep your, stay sharp in that type of thing, especially when you're looking for a job. Like, okay, I applied to this. It's not my perfect job, but I'll go to the job interview just so I get used to it. And that's kind of the way I'm looking at this.
Like, biggest thing, have fun.
Yeah.
Try to have fun. Make sure they're having fun.
What are you, Pierre Maguire?
Yeah.
Hey, get out there and have some good fun.
Yeah, have some fun. Where did you play your junior?
I played at the Sacramento Comedy Spot in Sacramento, California.
Oh, there you go. All right, back to you, Doc. Okay, so to close up for us to nerd out.
Yes.
A little bit, because that's tending to be our shtick now, is to nerd out a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's summertime, and Comic-Con was happening, and that's when all these different trailers are coming out and all the different panels are happening. Well, I get really excited for trailers. I know some people, Jeremy Gigover, hates watching trailers because he just wants to go into the movie without knowing anything. And this is why sometimes I think, I don't want to say dumb, but it's dumb sometimes to do that for certain movies, because Jeremy went into Rogue One not knowing anything about Rogue One and what it was about, where it took place or anything. He's expecting the movie to explain that. I'm like, dude, it's part of a saga. You need to know when it's taking place, because it'll make things make sense.
Like, is he a big fan of the movies? Like, had he seen all of them? Okay.
Yeah, but he hates trailers because he doesn't want any spoilers. So he's like, I want to go in fresh, and I totally get that. But there's certain ones when a movie like Rogue One, for instance, is taking place between movies, you should probably know the time period that's taking place.
That's when you need, like, hey, friend, I need you to watch this, and then, like, just give me whatever information. Don't ruin any cameos or anything that are obviously in the trailer. That drives me crazy. In the Batman versus Superman trailer, they ruined the Wonder Woman cameo.
Yeah.
Like, it's right in the trailer. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just drives me crazy.
Or when they go ahead and put, like, the main villain in everything, or in terms of showing everything instead of just teasing it.
Yeah.
I love teases. Have some suspense, especially in superhero movies.
Yeah.
So one of the big ones obviously came out was Justice League.
Yeah.
And what I love about,
I'm a big Wonder Woman fan now, especially. And I didn't read the comics. I'll go ahead and say that. But I love the movie because I'm more of a Marvel person.
I still haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Oh, man. You've got it. It's making so many millions of dollars for a reason. And what I love about it is that Gal Gadot, I know people are like, oh, yeah, they're just pushing another strong female character. It's Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It's Wonder Woman. Yeah, she's a strong female lead, and she kicks ass. But what's so great about it is her background, that she was in the Israeli military.
That's amazing.
So no matter what she did in the military, she still had to get the same training as everybody else in terms of self-defense, everything like that. So she was able to use those skills in this movie, and they didn't make her change her accent. So all these things together made it a wonderful movie because they didn't make her change everything that she was, and she was able to be Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, which was perfect.
Yeah.
Justice League trailer, I was pretty excited about it, but it's still DC, and we know how much I like to screw stuff up.
Yes.
So we'll see how that goes, but it looks promising.
I haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, and part of like...
That'll help.
I have not, like, up until this point, I still haven't seen a good DC movie. Do you remember the Green Lantern?
I know. I know.
Like, how bad was that?
I know. Well, I think they even referenced that in the Justice League.
Do they?
Yeah.
I
there's no lantern.
Okay, now I do remember that.
Okay. But I think you see Wonder Woman, it'll help.
Yeah.
Even make the Justice League trailer make more sense. Yeah. But even Batman versus Superman, the best part of that was Wonder Woman because she didn't seem cheesy. She actually was the one fighting and not trying to figure a thing out. She wasn't trying to be the comic relief. She was just Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. I think she's the glue, not Batman. Wonder Woman is the glue. And she fought in a world war. So I think she's the glue of that as well. And everybody's talking about at the end of the trailer too, was who are they talking about with, about time you arrive, you might be too late, da 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 da. Is it Green Lantern? Is it Superman? Now IMDb has Henry Cavill in the list of cast.
Yeah.
So we shall see. I'm excited about that because
stuff like that though, it could always be flashbacks or something like that. You know, you never really know until you're in the movie theater and you know, unless when it gets close to the date they release an alternative trailer and we'll see. Ruins it.
I don't wanna do a lot. I don't wanna analyze a trailer too much. I'm just kind of I love superhero movies. Yeah. Love these movies, and we'll see. And it looks like they finally took a hint from Marvel and so many things of let there be some natural comedic elements. It doesn't have to be fully serious all the time.
Yeah.
It makes it more entertaining because it breaks that just a little bit. Hence why Spider-Man 2, not Spider-Man 2, but Spider-Man also.
as well
was great because the comedic element in there was he's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
There's comedy in that.
Yeah, and I talked to somebody who didn't like Spider-Man because like they didn't showcase New York. He's just this weird kid, like, and I was like, "What are you talking about? Like they've overdone that in so many Spider-Man movies."
Just get to the damn story. That's what we want. Yeah. We know Spider-Man's history. Uncle Ben doesn't have to keep dying, man.
No. How many different actors are they going to get to die as Uncle Ben?
Oh, we get attached to him. Oh, he's dead again. We knew this was coming, but oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Stop that. Okay. Next one. This is a leak. It hasn't even been officially released yet, but I remember when this first came out with Comic-Con that it was someone doing a play-by-play of this trailer, and I'm scrolling down going, okay, where is it? And it wasn't there as for Avengers Infinity War. They just did a full play-by-play of Captain America is bearded. Like, that's great. Can we see a picture of bearded Captain America? A mantis appears and wakes him up.
Yeah. In that trailer, it was a whole lot of Guardians of the Galaxy. You can tell that property is really, like, and before Guardians of the Galaxy came out, like, I'm pretty savvy about comic books and stuff. I'd never even, like, had any reference to Guardians of the Galaxy before that. Like, and I've gone into comic books and, like, dropped $50 on a bunch of different comic books. And, like, I guess if I didn't really know a lot about it, I was like, I don't know how this is going to do. Like, the boom is going to come off the Marvel Rose at some point. Maybe this is the time.
Well, I mean, look at what they're able to do with Iron Man. He wasn't the top notch.
No.
When you really break it down, Iron Man was not the top notch type of thing. And that Robert Downey Jr. Casting helps a lot.
Yeah.
When it comes to Marvel being great at what they're doing. But that... they're able to kick off different franchises and make them popular because of what their dream was and thought process behind having phases. Like, they mapped it out. That's what you can tell. They were whooping DC because they had a plan, an actual plan of phases and everything. But that, like you said, that's what excited me, especially just right when, if you haven't seen, it's a leaked trailer. So Google it. Not really spoilers because it's out there.
The version I watched had like somebody with curly hair covering like three quarters of the bottom of the screen.
Guardians of the Galaxy are flying, and all of a sudden Thor splats on their windshield. So it ties it in right there. But I'm excited about that just because you're finally, it's bringing in a decade of movies coming together for this, for a two-part war.
Yeah.
Basically, we're not even going to see, apparently, we're not even going to see Captain Marvel in Infinity War either, which I'm excited to see Brie Larson.
They've been setting up Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet for so long.
Oh, yeah. But it makes it so much fun. Yeah. I love that because it all ties in together. It gets me excited because trying to teach my girlfriend about all this because she's like, well, I like Captain America, but I haven't seen the movie. Like, how do you like Captain America? You haven't even seen them?
Wait, hold up. You have a girlfriend?
I'm not trying to drop it. I'm just trying to explain. Like, that's what I'm so excited. I'm like, you've got to see this. We can see it together.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of aspect. No, I get that. And so after seeing the first Avenger, Captain America, the first Avenger, she's like, oh, I really like Captain America now. I'm like, see?
That's one of the fun things about the honeymoon phase of a relationship is like, oh, you've never seen this. You've never done that. Get ready to live.
Well, so funny story. Star Wars related.
Yeah.
She had been apparently avoiding the Star Wars conversation as long as she could. Like, I'd bring it up, and she'd just, like, laugh along and play along.
Yeah, of course.
And I finally busted her when I mentioned that I used to play for the Wampas back at A-game. And she's like, oh, well, what's a Wampa?
Ah.
Like, oh, well, you know, Star Wars and the Empire Strikes Back is that big thing. Now, a lot of people would be like, oh, yeah, but that was just a minor thing, a Wampa. Yeah. Like, yes, that's very true. But as soon as you say Empire Strikes Back, you know, the big monster that pulls in Luke, it would click for most people. Like, oh, yeah, you'd have that reaction. It was still blank stare from her. I was like, have you seen Star Wars? And she started laughing, saying, I've avoided this for so long, and all my friends have been asking, when is he going to pick up on this? So we'll see. We'll see. She saw Rogue One, but she hasn't seen the other Star Wars movies, all the other seven of them.
Part of the fun of Rogue One is like where it shoehorns in.
Yeah. So we'll see. But she loves Marvel, getting her into that because there's so much to get caught up on. It's easy to get behind in Marvel too. A lot of friends with families and things like that. It's hard to get with Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and all is hard to get caught up. So
yeah.
But I'm excited for Infinity War because they're finally bringing all these people together. The cast. I mean, just look at IMDb and scroll. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane how many millions of dollars of salary are just in Avengers Infinity War.
I mean, that's one thing Marvel did early on, though. Like, when they signed Samuel L. Jackson to be Nick Fury, they said, okay, we're signing you for 12 movies.
Yeah. And here you go.
Yeah.
You know, for each of those actors, too, I think they're okay with it. Because it only helps build their brand.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you get someone like Daniel Craig in the like James Bond movies. Yeah. Like, he's like, I can't wait to not be this character.
Right. Kind of like Harrison Ford with Han Solo.
Yeah.
It's like, please kill me.
It drives me crazy.
Han Solo's
with that.
Dead.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Oh, come on.
No, that's one thing about Han Solo and Harrison Ford that drives me crazy is he was on like Jimmy Kimmel, and they asked Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel asked them, like, man, what was it like to put on that uniform again? And all he said was, it felt like a paycheck.
That's true. I think he said that Indiana Jones he would do.
Yeah.
But not Han Solo.
Which is so crazy.
I mean, it's crazy, but you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Anyways, I digress, and it's easy to talk about movies all the time, but.
All right. So I think that's about it. You're leaving town for the World Junior Showcase.
Yep, in Plymouth, Michigan.
When do you come back, and like, when are we going to do the next episode? We should probably strike when the iron's hot, I guess.
I know I'm going to record with Michael Gallagher for The Road to Nashville as well, specifically about that. Specifically about that. No, we'll talk about it in our next one, too, because we have different listenership sometimes as well, and a different perspective from this as well. But what I'm looking forward to is this is the first time this event's being held in Plymouth. Yeah. Obviously, USA Hockey Arena is still new to people, but usually it was held in Lake Placid. But this is the time they're bringing in, there are four different countries represented as well. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be over 60 U.S. players, over 60 Canadian players making up two teams before they finally dwindle it down. Yeah. To where there's one team for each country and they play the final tournament games, which will be broadcast on NHL Network. So there's a way for people to watch these games as well.
It's going to be a really exciting event, and Justin's going to talk all about it while he's two-timing on me with that other podcast.
That's also part of the Penalty Box Radio Network. Bastard. We'll talk about it here, too. But anyways, you know, make sure to follow along with that because it's going to be exciting to have some of these Preds prospects, especially tells how well they've been drafting lately, too. Yeah. They have Preds prospects there representing their countries, potentially go play in the World Juniors. Mm-hmm. So two Americans, two Canadians. Let's do it upright.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us in episode 3. Justin Bradford at Justin B. Bradford. I'm Cameron Gumpy at Cam Gumpy. And what's the random like number combination for our producer, Ben? It's like at B free 69420, something like that.
69420? Nice. Instant
messenger. No, seriously, what is it real quick?
It's a B free 1231.
At B free 1231. So that's our producer, Ben. He does a fantastic job and lets us be in his home, and we don't even have to pay rent. So I pay rent by constantly thanking him. Yeah, that works. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today, and enjoy your off season.